This is Dr. Max Shouts, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God, is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It's so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time. We hope that you have your Bibles as we bring our final and concluding message here on the speaking of tongues. We're over here now and concluding here with Mark chapter 16. And as you recall, we have found out in Mark chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18 here, that God said, "These signs, plural, shall follow them that believe." We have found out in the transition book of Acts, where we find that the apostles and those had special gifts in order to perform these miracles, and they will follow them that believe until the New Testament is completed. We have found out so far that Ananias in Acts chapter 9 had the power to heal Paul's blindness. We find out that Stephen in Acts chapter 6 did great wonders and miracles, plural, not just speaking in tongues. Philip the evangelist in Acts chapter 8 also did many miracles, plural. And then we find out that Barnabas and Paul in Acts chapter 14 and also in Acts chapter 15, we find out where they also did many miracles and wonders. Now, we find out that these miracles and wonders were healing the sick, casting out demons, the power to escape death when bitten by a venomous viper, and these fulfilled Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Now, we're just finishing up as we gave most of the information and exposition on Mark 16 last week. There's much more, I feel, that could be said to substantiate the signs of Mark chapter 16, and showing that they have ceased prior to God's completion of His Word. But I feel enough has been said to convince any honest Bible student who has a desire to know the truth that these signs are not for us today. Now, as we continue on here, we want to recapitulate here and retrace some things and bring a brief summary of some of the questions that tongues advocates must face and answer without evasion. First of all, let me say this. What about pastors and deacons? You see, if tongues are for everyone, as most advocates claim, then surely God would have made this a requirement for all pastors and deacons. When we examine the Word of God, this is not true. Read carefully, if you will, for yourselves, the requirements for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And then read the requirements for deacons in 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 13. Tongues are not a requirement. If speaking in tongues is as important as its endorsers claim, then God was mistaken in not requiring this of pastors and deacons, who are the overseer and examples to the congregation. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on God's word rather than the word of those who advocate tongues. What about you? Now, what about grieving the Holy Spirit? You see, if tongues advocates are correct in this assumption, which Kenneth Hagin has stated in one of his books, and let me quote, "Every Christian should speak in tongues," then would it not grieve the Holy Spirit if a Christian did not speak in tongues? But to the contrary, when we examine the Word of God, we find a multiplicity of things that grieve the Holy Spirit, but there is nothing said about tongues. If you'll read carefully in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 32, of all the things that grieve the Holy Spirit, yet there is nothing said about tongues. If tongues are for today, I'm sure it would grieve the Holy Spirit if one did not experience that so-called gift. Again, I'm going to place my trust in God's Word rather than that of men. And let me ask you again, what about you? Acts chapter 2, as we retrace, if tongues advocates today dare claim Acts chapter 2 to support their speaking in tongues, why does not everyone understand in their own language when they speak? And Acts 2 does not endorse private speaking in tongues at all, as Acts 2 was a public meeting with various nationalities present and everyone understanding in their own language. The claim of tongue speakers today in no respect coincides with that of Acts chapter 2. Which will you believe? The record of God's word or the testimony of men? And then we come to Mark chapter 16 as we just retrace some of these things. Now, it's very interesting. Almost without exception, every tongues advocate I've talked to has referred to Mark chapter 16, quoting verse 17 in part. And when I say in part, I mean they quote only part of the verse or verses that endorse their claim. Allow me to illustrate, if I may, from a book written by one of the leading tongues advocates today, and he listed several reasons why every believer should speak in tongues. Now, here is his quote of Scripture to support one of those reasons, and I would challenge you to go to your Bible and see how this man left out most of it. And these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall speak with new tongues. Period. That's all he quoted. Now, if you read only his book and did not check the Word of God, you could very well be deceived. Now, I'm going to quote from God's Word all of Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, and notice the difference. And these signs, he left that out, plural, shall follow them that believe. And in my name they shall cast out demons, speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. My question is, why did this preacher omit and not even mention the other four signs? You see, the word signs is plural, and if you could do one sign, you could do all of them. I would think that healing the sick would surely have preeminence over speaking in tongues, wouldn't you? To pull tongues out of Mark 16 would be to mutilate God's Word and then to draw it out to make it endorse one's desire. If tongues are for today, so are the other four signs. Who will you believe, God's Word or man-made claims? Now, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This chapter reveals several interesting observations concerning tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Let me enumerate. First of all, in verse 1, they were ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, but they were tongue speakers. In verse 3, some in Corinth who were speaking in tongues were actually cursing Jesus by a false spirit and yet were not even aware of it. The demonic spirits were having a field day in Corinth, cursing Jesus through the speaker without his realization. A third thing that's interesting, in verses 8 and 10, tongues are given last, yet the Corinthians placed them first. Compare that with the tongues movement today, and you'll see the same thing taking place. A fourth thing to observe, the baptism of the Spirit is into the body of Christ, not into tongues. Another thing to observe in verse 13, this verse says that all have been made to drink. That's the same as baptized into one spirit. Tongues cannot be evidence of the baptism of the Spirit, since not all speak with tongues, in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 12. But all believers are baptized into the body of Christ. This verse refutes one of the major errors of Pentecostalism, who say that speaking in tongues is evidence of the baptism of the Spirit. Absolutely could not be. In verses 11, 18, and 30, God's Word says that He distributes the gifts to believers as He sees fit. And this makes an absolute liar out of those who say tongues are for everyone. In verse 14 to 20, God's Word emphasizes that all gifts are of equal importance. Personally, I hear 1,000 times more about the gift of tongues than any of the other gifts, and I think something's wrong somewhere, wouldn't you? God says they were all equal. You see, if one honestly compares this chapter with the claims of tongues advocates today, one can easily see their claims are false and filled with error of false doctrine, predicated on the wisdom of men instead of the infallible Word of God. You have a decision to make. Will you believe God's Word or man's Word? Now we go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This chapter tells the believer when tongues will cease and informs us that the more excellent way to influence unbelievers is with our actions motivated by the love of God. In verses 8 to 10, the word perfect here is referring to God's Word, not Christ. The Greek word teleos is never used in reference to Christ. The second thing to examine from this chapter. With the book of Revelation, God's completed word, knowledge, prophecy, and tongues would cease. Another thing to observe, three things would remain after God's word is complete, faith, hope, and charity. Since the book of Revelation was completed, God has never given the gift of tongues to anyone. Any speaking in so-called tongues would have to be motivated by a satanic spirit, not the Holy Spirit. If tongues today were of the Holy Spirit would be contradicting God's Word, and that is absolutely impossible. Another observance, if any person is in doubt, reference the teaching concerning the Word perfect. I would advise you to write to several reputable Christian colleges and ascertain from their Greek professors the meaning of the Word. And last of all, You're now confronted with a decision. Will you believe God's word, that knowledge, prophecy, and tongues have ceased with the book of Revelation, or will you say no and endorse man's teaching? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. While tongues existed prior to the completion of the book of Revelation, chapter 14 must be followed concerning the government of tongues. First of all, the speaking of tongues would always have to be interpreted. Verses 5, 13, and 27. Another observance, the purpose of tongues was to edify the church, not the individual. Verses 4, 5, and 12. A third thing, no one was ever to pray or sing in tongues. Verses 14 and 15. In verse 20, Paul said that they were children in the faith, not mature men, because their obsession was with tongues. And you have the same thing today, babies in Christ, not mature. And then in verse 32, each person is responsible for controlling himself. The spirit of the prophets is subject unto the prophets. You're responsible for the way you act. You're responsible for that spirit. And then in verse 35, the churches were in a state of confusion because of the speaking in tongues, and we have the same thing today. And then in verse 34, no woman was ever given the gift of tongues. Get that. They were never to speak in tongues in the church. Tongues advocates have told me that this is only referring to a business meeting within the church. This is another example of their twisting and turning and adding to God's word to make it fit their practices. You see, Paul never discussed anything about a business meeting in chapters 12 to 14. This is absolute dishonesty with God's word. The hardest thing I've found to get is to get the tongues advocates to accept God's word. Let the woman keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Verses 34 and 35. Let me ask you, will you ladies believe the word of God, or will you believe the word of men? You see, one false doctrine always leads to another. I found almost without exception that those who endorse tongues also believe you can lose your salvation. This also leads to a salvation by works and not one totally by of grace by faith. Then, if they are trusting in works, they are not saved. Salvation is by faith alone without works, and one can never be lost again. I'm only stating what I've been told personally. Every Christian has a right to judge a person's testimony and preaching against the Word of God. Now, if you tell me that you're going to heaven by your good works, the Bible says you are not. If you are going to heaven by faith alone, trusting in the finished work of Christ, then you agree with the Bible and you are saved. You see, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, discern between them whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Many people are misled by the fact that they know someone who seems so sincere and who speaks in tongues. They cannot conceive the fact this person has been misled and deceived because, and here's the reason now, they have not studied the Word of God concerning tongues. False doctrine can only influence a person who does not have a knowledge of God's Word. The sad situation is that if this person had known God's Word, they could have turned to Corinthians and helped the person who claims tongues, showing them the more excellent way of the Christian life since tongues have ceased. Now get this, if you will. I do not accept the fact tongues advocates are sincere when they have been shown the Word of God and then reject it. You see, one cannot convince me they love the Lord and then reject His Word. That isn't so. I will accept their sincerity without knowledge if they don't know, but they are not telling the truth about their sincerity when they are shown the truth and reject it. When a tongues advocate will not accept God's Word and those are influenced who do not know the Word of God, you have the end of both described as the blind leading the blind and both falling into a ditch. Matthew chapter 15 in verses 13 and 14. You see, with the clear teaching of God's Word concerning tongues, there is absolutely no excuse for accepting the counterfeit. It would have to be a willful disregard for the Bible, and Paul concluded that, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now this is, other words, there is nothing more that anyone can do except show them the truth. It then becomes their responsibility to accept it. And I might say this, after listening to these expositions on tongues, let me ask you something. Where do you stand and what will you believe? In Psalms chapter 118, verse 8, the middle verse of the Bible, the Lord tells us it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. I think in conclusion of our messages on tongues, and next week we'll start some messages on predestination, choosing, and election. I think those will be very interesting. These are some doctrinal messages that I think are in dire need to be taught explicitly and simply in a day when I've never seen Satan at work so much on sound doctrine, trying to disintegrate it, trying to confuse it, and he's doing that to Christians because of it. But in conclusion here on tongues, maybe you're one and you've seen some of your friends and your relatives, and the thing is, they seem so sincere. Yes, they could seem so sincere, but again, when they are shown the truth, then it becomes a matter of their pride as far as saying, look, I have been deceived. And that pride can keep them from doing an awful lot of things, especially admitting the truth. But I know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. The counterfeit is to say that, well, you're going to heaven by good works or reformation. And just as the counterfeit is to say, look, tongues are still for today. You need the experience. And you see the various doctrines that this refutes in the Bible. And that is, first of all, you can lose your salvation. It is the second blessing. All these are false. And also the fact that when you speak in tongues, it's for everyone. That's a lie from hell. God gave the gifts as he seen fit. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's a lie. The whole thing is nothing but satanically motivated and inspired. But the greatest thing in all the world is this, and let me give the positive side now, is in the Lord Jesus Christ we are justified freely from all things which you could not be justified by the law. That's salvation, and what a peace of mind it is to know the Bible. I was talking to a person here some time ago, and not knowing the Bible, they should have, but they didn't. And every wind of doctrine that come along, they were hanging on to, and they were in actually a confused state and a mess. And I told them, I said, you know what? You have actually caused yourself so much mental turmoil by not knowing the Bible, because here you are. You're in doubt about this, you're in doubt about that, and I don't think there's anything that gives a person a more peace of mind than knowing for sure the certainty of things and the promises of God. Then you don't have to doubt anymore. You don't have to have your mind in a state of confusion and turmoil and worry, all because you're not taking by faith the promises that God has given to the Christian. No wonder there are so many nervous breakdowns. No wonder there is such mental turmoil, and yet a person actually is inflicting these turmoils and things upon themselves. If they would just read the Word of God, accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that's all it is, by faith, believing he died on the cross to pay for your sins, rose again the third day, God says you will never perish but have everlasting life, and what a peace there is in knowing that. And the Lord said, I give my peace unto you, not as the world giveth, because it doesn't give any. But my peace I give unto you. And that's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Justified by faith, we have peace with God in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And maybe you've been running around in a turmoil. Maybe you've listened to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that come along. And maybe it would be wise to look into the Bible and get yourself on solid ground. Get your footing on the sure rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe his promises, and then when you know the Bible, every wind of false doctrine that comes along, you can cast it out the wind and say, listen, that disagrees with God's word. That kind of listening to false doctrine will always keep you in a turmoil, always. And it will always cause mental anguish. It will always make you try your best to get to heaven instead of having the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Justified, declared righteous, a legal term in the Bible. Declared righteous, you can have peace with God. And then when you study your Bible, no wonder God told us in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you study the Bible, instead of all the books by other men, and you study the Bible, and you know the Bible, and then when something comes along, you have a foundation to lay the false doctrine against, and then you have a discernment. You got the sure foundation. And then when false doctrine comes, you can throw it out saying that disagrees with God's word. And since God's word's never been wrong, never been found to be untrue, then I'm on the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, folks, it'll put a peace in your life. You can quit striving. You can quit trying to attain something you could never attain. And you'll quit trying to speak in tongues and get the closer walk with God. And the formula is very simple. You're saved by faith through grace. You're saved all by the grace of God. But then when you dedicate yourself to serve the Lord and then put Him first, then your blessings come. And then you find out that God showers you with blessings and He keeps His promises to you that will serve Him after that you're saved and dedicate yourself to do that. I don't know how many people that I've seen in such a mental anguish. And yet, you know what? You'll talk to them. Well, where have you been? I haven't seen you in church. Well, Pastor, I wonder about that. Now, can you lose your salvation? Why haven't you been in church when we taught it? Why haven't you been studying your Bible? And self-inflict this punishment upon themselves because they will not do what God says to do. And He says, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, as some have. If you'll start studying your Bible, pray to the Lord and talk to Him. Read His Word and let Him talk to you. And then come to church and hear the teaching of God's Word and have the fellowship with other Christians. You find out that you'll have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and you'll enjoy your Christian life, and it'll be fun to serve the Lord.
Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. You know, God wants you to have that peace. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, why don't you do it right now? You don't have to pray some prayer. You just have to realize you're a sinner, and the wages of sin is death or hell, and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, so you don't have to go to hell and make that payment yourself. And when you make that decision, you'll have the peace, because the Holy Spirit, who is the peacemaker, in your conscience, you have a promise from the Word of God that you belong to Christ. Well, thank you for joining with us. We'd like to invite you to our services if you're in the Walnut Grove area. Our Sunday mornings from 10 to 11. We hope you'll take time to write. It's been a blessing to be able to join with you at this time. We hope you'll write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. As the theme of our broadcast is, you keep praying because one of these golden daybreaks, Jesus, will come.